This is Hit Bull Win Podcast,
the official podcast of the Durham Bulls,
part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is important. We have an announcement.
We do.
40th episode of Hit Bull Win Podcast in your ears right now. My name is Patrick Norwood. I'm the video and digital production manager here at the Durham Bulls. I am joined by Scott Strickland, assistant general manager, operations. Scott, how are we doing this week?
Good. Focusing on rest and recovery happening here starting in a week.
R&R.
But it's been a good week. How about you?
Good. Busy. We're amidst a two-week homestand. That is why this episode is coming a little bit late. We're sorry about that. We also had a guest fall through for good reason. That's one thing we'll talk about here in a second. But let's work in chronological order since people heard us last. Sylvan Esso rocked the DAP.
And Durham.
And the surrounding buildings.
That's correct.
But it was a great show. We were very, very blessed to have them. They're, like I said last episode, they're a huge part of Durham. People in Durham really gravitate towards them for good reason. They're a good representation of the city. And like I said, they rocked, man. They were having a good time.
13,000 tickets sold.
Big.
Which is the most number of tickets sold for a Bulls related, to a degree, I guess, concert ever.
Yes. But a normal night at the DAP. You know, if you're going to go over to the DAP, you're going to see 13,000 people.
Always. So, yeah. So it was great. Operationally, you know, we had a little over 2,000 people there for the first night, which was a great soft opening, so to speak.
Yep, absolutely.
And then Friday and Saturday rocked it with a little over 4,000 both nights. That's the most number of people there in a three-day period since Labor Day weekend of 1994.
Oh, I remember it well.
Yep. I remember it was before you were driving, I believe.
I was one.
Yes. but obviously that goes back to when the Bulls played there. So
right.
Yep. It was a great success. A lot of the local businesses just thrived as well with that additional foot traffic over there. And it was a really cool vibe, cool scene, and something we're excited that we hosted and hopefully going to do again in the future.
I had never shot a concert. It was awesome.
Yeah.
They handle the lighting for you. You just got to be in the right position at the right time.
Yep.
One of the best shots that I got, shout out to our man Rusty, helping me out, get right up next to the stage.
We should get Rusty.
Seriously.
On.
Seriously, we should.
Yeah.
Right up next to the stage. Eardrums, still recover. Eardrum. I have one working ear. It's still recovering, but it's worth it. I had one cool shot where the lights all went out. Right, it was like the middle of a song, and then they brought him up real quick, and it just, such a good shot. I have no idea when we'll ever use it, but it's really
cool. Speaking of that world a little bit, I feel like we need to give a shout out to Durham Bulls Director of Special Events.
Sasha. Sasha's scared to come on the podcast, by the way.
And
don't blame her.
Apparently a little scared of hosting a concert.
Oh?
Because during soundcheck day...
Oh, gosh, I forgot about
this.
You
know, they set off a fog machine to test the quote-unquote smoke. And I think Sasha thought that there
was
a massive fire.
Which, by the way, that's the type of person I want on this crew. Because we don't have enough people that look up, see smoke, and go, oh that doesn't look right. Yeah, right. We don't have a lot of that in the front office. No, big shout-out to Sasha. She's been awesome, especially with the concert. She was there all 3 days. Brought bucket hats for the gang.
Did.
The bucket hat gang.
Not the entire gang. Didn't bring me a bucket hat, but that's okay. I already had one.
You did.
Yep.
You had one. Cam had one. She just wanted to fit in with you guys.
Yep.
Be cool. But no, big shout out to Sasha. It was a fun day. Best photographer the Bulls have, by the way. Don't know if I've mentioned that on this podcast. She takes great photos.
Great shots.
Really good stuff.
View too.
Really good stuff, yes. Another thing that happened, flipping the page a little bit forward, we had a retirement.
We did.
Last night.
Yep.
Honored Captain Gaddy. If you've been to a Bulls game, you've no doubt seen Captain Gaddy, even if you are not aware of it. He was here how many years, Scott?
So 25 years of service to the Durham Bulls Athletic Park as he started working during the 1997 season, following his start with the city of Durham in 1995. I really can't describe the... I tried to do a little Facebook post this morning,
which
I ended up doing a little Facebook post because I'm not one of those guys who's going to write like five paragraphs. But to recap what he has meant to the Bulls and what's really interesting about him is what he's meant to Bulls front office members,
Right.
Bulls game day employees, Bulls players, Bulls staff, on coaching staff.
Brady, man.
Just a significant impact to everyone. I've seen him. He literally drove. He picked up and took home our PA announcer for numerous years.
Right.
That's a level of service and dedication that he had and has to our community, whether that be the city of Durham at large or the DBAP community in a little bit smaller context there. But just meant the world to us, and we certainly appreciate all of his service to our community.
He will always be a good representation of Durham as well. He was in our jersey shoot. We released our Bull City jerseys earlier this year, and he could not have been nicer. I do want to bring up one story right quick,
okay,
though. I will try to go through and find it. But when we started the concepting of this jersey shoot, Paxton and I said we need to get a good variety of people that work in areas kind of all across Durham, right? All walks of life.
Yep.
So we had a firefighter. We had another person from the fire hall, good friend of the podcast, Patrick Bergman. Thank you. My wife was in this shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Gaddy was in this shoot. But when we asked Captain Gaddy to do it, he said, yeah, of course. Here's my availability. Y'all just let me know what time. We told him, I think it was okay. We'll see you at the DAP, actually, is where we did his, because I thought that would be a good setting. And I said, we'll do yours. It'll be noon next Tuesday. Okay. He said, great. We went through the weekend, followed up with him on Monday. Hey, you still good for tomorrow? He responds, yes, absolutely. I wouldn't miss it.
Okay? Wouldn't miss it.
However, that turned out to not be the case for good reason, I will mention, because this is the transcript. As we're sitting there, it's like 15 minutes have gone by. We still haven't seen him. And I'm like, okay, should we get worried? Should we just go? Paxton's like, yeah, let's just go. And as we're walking back to the car, Pax goes, oh, shoot, I have a missed call. I bet this is him. Clicks onto his voicemail, and it's got like the transcription thing, right? Let me just read you what this says.
Okay.
Hey, this is Captain Gaddy. Hey, I am tied up right now on a stolen vehicle. We're actually on active pursuit in the woods, and I'm holding the perimeter for, I think, three suspects. So I'll probably have to reschedule today. Give me a call back whenever you can. So sorry. Just give me a call, but I'll try to keep my phone close. I'm out of the car, but I'll try to keep the phone close. Okay, thank you. And then he hung up. And Paxton saved that voicemail immediately. And he's great. He's great. He's just awesome. He was so apologetic for doing his job, keeping us safe. But no, it was great. They caught the guy, by the way. They did catch a guy. I don't think it ended up being three people, but they did catch him. He was able to come and do the shoot a couple days later. That was the last thing I did before I went to Italy. And it was a beautiful way to send off that jersey shoot. So
I feel like the statute of limitations has passed enough. We won't reveal specific names here.
Okay.
But perhaps there was a Bulls employee who might have been exceeding the speed limit by just a little bit.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
And got pulled over by one of Durham's finest. And we'll remove some details here. My memory's a little foggy as well. But somehow the officer got in touch with Captain Gaddy and said, hey, does this person work for the Durham Bulls? Do you know this person?
Oh, man.
And Gaddy then called the driver and gave them a stern, stern lecturing. And that was the end of that situation.
Yep.
So,
yep. Nice.
Always looking out for folks, always trying to set some lessons out there and take care of folks. Just awesome. It was awesome seeing the number of people that stood up to clap for him yesterday.
Brady walking over.
That's
when I got a little choked up. Brady stopped what he was doing to walk over to shake his hand.
Yep.
He's, Brady ball, man.
Done a lot for a lot of people. We got some tears out of Gaddy. That was the goal.
Yep. And we
got
it.
We got some tears out of him.
And we got it. We did it. But no, he's one of a kind. If you're listening right now, we cannot tell you how much we appreciate you. And we'll be calling you for a 919 membership soon.
That's right.
We'll hit you with the, hey, haven't seen you at the ballpark in a minute email, probably next week. But no, thank you. We are, baseball team's good, by the way. Real good.
Mm-hmm.
5-1 series win over Charlotte.
Shocking.
Always a good time. Three games above 500. Is that correct? Two or three?
Well,
in that range.
If you stall what you're talking about for just a hair longer.
Yeah, let's talk about it. We had Josh Lowe, good diving catch last night. Fort Proctor had a good game last night. A few good innings out of Fleming twice this week.
Yeah, and that win last night, you know, took us to 25 and 23.
Yep, there you go. there you go. So don't look now. We're right around the corner. Got them right where we want them. Hey, mm-hmm. we've got a great interview for you today. We have the animal, Big Dog, Dave Levy, mm-hmm. coming up on Hit Bull Win Podcast. Real fun, late guest. Late being we asked him late.
Right, late on the docket.
We have the Big Dog, the man who needs no introduction.
Even though
we're introducing him. Dave Levy / Levy, depending on who you ask.
That's correct.
Let's settle the score here. Is it Levy or Levy?
It is Levy.
Levy. Dave Levy. What's your title?
Director of Food and Beverage.
How many times are you called Levy? What percentage of the time are you called Levy versus Levy?
Oh, I would say I'd go about 45%.
That's almost 50-50.
That's a lot.
It borders 50-50.
Well,
the trick is the industry that food and beverage industry in sports, the hard part is there's a company that misspells their name, but they say Levy. So
A lot of confusion there.
Shout out.
They think that you're like an heir to the fortune then, and they automatically associate one with the other.
I wish, you know, but unfortunately I'm not.
I do too. Big Dog, thanks for coming on the podcast. I wish I could tell the people how the name Big Dog came about. I don't have an answer. When I got here, it was Animal. I didn't like it. I tried Big Dog on for size one day. He giggled a little bit, and we kept it forever.
And ironically, his two nicknames came from us too. I went they Animal, did. You went
you
Big Dog.
You know what? They did. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Big Dog, tell the people how you your journey to the Durham Bulls.
My journey to the Durham Bulls. Well, been in sports now almost, honestly, 3 decades.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Been food service the entire time. Back in the mid to late 90s, was in North Carolina at a couple single-A ballparks. Shout out Ernie Shore Field.
Whoop, whoop. Shout out Petey Pablo.
And
he's from around there.
I know.
Yep. And been both coasts, north and south, and eventually was in St. Louis, and looked like the football team was going to be leaving, so started looking and found this place.
I heard they thought about leaving at one time.
Yeah.
I think it worked out pretty well for him, though. Well,
seems like it.
We're glad you're here. You and I have a little bit of a connection. I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee. Shout out, Go Preds.
Yep.
Rocky Top.
Just kidding. No, not Rocky Top. Very much not Rocky Top. Not on this podcast.
Mm.
Not while I'm hosting. Roll Tide. And you were in Nashville from what year to what year?
Ooh. Wow.
Do you need to pull up your LinkedIn for this?
I possibly,
as Scott gets on LinkedIn.
Yes. Let's see here. Well, it would be 13 years ago because my youngest was born there. In Nashville.
All right, so. Great. What hospital? Is this a weird question?
And what is her social security number?
I was just seeing if we were born in the same hospital. So 13 years ago.
13 years ago. It was a fairly new hospital. Was it 24 that goes to Atlanta?
Yes.
So just north of Murfreesboro.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool. Good. Where are you headed?
Hold on here.
This is a visual medium, a podcast. But what has happened right now, if we seem a little distracted, there are 3 hot dogs lying in front of us. Because Big Dog, excuse me, 4. 4.
Yes.
For our old, this is the Matt Suter Memorial hot dog. That's where he would have sat.
Come on by, so, Suits.
Yeah, come through, Matt. I know you're not busy today. As we're recording this, they're about to go to Game 7. Go Canes. Go get them, boys. But no, I thought it was really cool that we had a similar connection to Nashville.
Yes.
Always nice. When you were there, it was the Somme Center?
It was the Gaylord Entertainment Center.
The GEC. Yeah, sure.
It became the Nashville Arena.
Yep.
Then it became the Somme Center.
It was the Somme Center?
Yeah. And I was only there for 2 years.
And now it's, Bridgestone. That's how the cookie crumbled. Yeah. 13 years ago, I started driving, so.
Okay.
I just thought I should mention that. All right, we have hot dogs in front of us. Scott is, good night, man. How much ketchup? All right,
yeah.
How many hot dogs would you say you eat and some of it gets on your clothes? The condiments.
Well, that's the weird part of this. I don't eat a lot of hot dogs. I didn't like hot dogs until maybe 7 or 8 years ago.
Chip Allen, big hot dog guy.
Big hot dog guy. But Dave was nice enough to bring, excuse me, Big Dog was big enough to bring, as my phone starts ringing.
Shocker. No one has ever heard that on this podcast.
we're that's some planning for that music festival.
Which music festival?
That one. Yeah. But Dave's nice enough to bring some hot dogs, and so I figured I'd put some little Heinz tomato ketchup on it.
We've had some hot dog switcheroo in the last year.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. Yeah. Well, first of all, I think sometimes you guys will, sometimes people will say Hot Dog Dave, you know.
Sure. We do say that.
Might have hot dog socks on right now.
He might.
Might.
Does not have on the hot dog hat.
No hot dog
Nor
hat.
Nor the beer hat.
No. But figured I'd bring you guys some hot dogs here. So we got our Salins Grill For You hot dog.
Shout out. It's good.
Yep.
Shout out, sponsor.
So figured I'd bring you guys a hot dog because, you know, as I kind of say in my household is, I sell hot dogs. I sell a lot of hot dogs, so many that they paid for a house.
Hey.
You know?
That's a lot of hot dogs.
The fourth little pig built his house out of hot dogs.
Yep.
Does your household consider a hot dog a sandwich?
Oh, this was one of the questions I was going to ask, Scotty. Ooh. I'm going to remind everyone that we're going to be polite guests, and we're going to pull the microphone away from our face as we eat our hot dogs.
Yeah.
So, yes, Big Dog is a hot dog a sandwich.
Ooh.
Mine right now is.
Because
my bun is two buns.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see where you're going with that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to say it's a sandwich. Mm. From a basic definition, it's a sandwich. I mean, what would you consider it if it's not a sandwich?
A taco?
A hot dog?
A taco. It is a taco.
A taco.
It is a peninsula of bread, right? With filling in the middle. That is a taco.
I'd call it a hot dog.
Yeah. You know, maybe if it was a Chi-Town dog, then maybe it gets a little closer to being a hot dog with all those extra toppings. But so we got our hot dogs here.
Mm-hmm.
Scott's already put ketchup all over his.
Mm-hmm.
How do you take your hot dog?
I'm usually plain dog.
Okay.
If I'm at a ball game, I like plain dog. But if I'm eating it for a meal, I will go ketchup, mustard. I go ketchup, mustard on the bun, hot dog on top.
Okay.
Because that is the best way to not get condiment all over your shirt. And as someone who likes wearing a lot of white.
Part of your experience.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How quickly, how many, all right, how many do you think you could eat?
In what context?
No. How many hot dogs can you eat? Sitting down, there's an entire tray full.
I got all the time in the world. I got an hour, what I got?
Yeah. Till you're full. Till you're full.
Four.
Four?
I'm not a big hot dog guy. Told you.
Okay. What about you?
I'd go four. I think it would be difficult to go more than four.
I think Peter Wallace could probably go about eight or nine.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm right behind him around seven or eight.
He once participated in a hot dog eating contest here.
I need to know everything about this. Did he? Was this? Nobody choked, right?
I don't know. It might have been the last one we did.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Perhaps that statement.
Perhaps that might have
your
happened.
Your question are related.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, right. You participated. To my knowledge, there are two Durham Bulls employees that have participated in hot dog eating contests here. Matt DiMargel, shout out, former director of marketing and promotions.
I've heard many things.
And Peter Wallace.
All right. How many do you think you're taking down? Hot dogs. You're just sitting down. You got a tray full.
He said four.
He said four? I missed that. I'm sorry. I was focusing on how good my hot dog was.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you focused on that.
What would you say is the most interesting item we have here at the DVAP?
Most interesting item that we sell?
Yes.
New interesting, I'm going to say, is going to be the buffalo cauliflower wings.
Okay.
They're very good.
Okay.
I think they're very tasty. And
now, let's say that someone is not a culinary expert like the three of us sitting at this table. How is it a cauliflower wing? What about it makes it a cauliflower wing? Is it actual cauliflower just dipped in buffalo sauce? Or is it...
It's cauliflower breaded. The breading is, you know, buffalo spiced.
Sure.
And it's fried up like a wing. And... you know, if you're going to call little chicken nuggets boneless wings, you can call cauliflower pieces like that cut to look like wings as
another
wings.
Another great debate. Are boneless wings chicken nuggets?
No, they're boneless wings.
Man, Scott, who knew you were going to be so literal with this discussion? Yep. You're not doing a good job of yes anding. I don't know how many improv classes you've been to, but
not a lot.
Yeah, okay, it shows. Not a lot. Well, that sounds good. I've heard good things about multiple food items here throughout the years. The mac and cheese dog was a big hit.
Yep.
There was a tater tot dog at one point, correct?
Well, a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
we did a tater tot that it was a tater tot waffle.
Okay.
Yep.
We fried up tater tots.
Yep.
And then squished it into a waffle iron.
Mm-hmm. That is a word.
Lots of waffle irons.
Yes.
Yes. Went through pump.
And then topped it with cheese, jalapenos, bacon. I think there might have been even sour cream with it. It had everything. It was loaded beyond belief. It was so successful that I had, when Amazon Prime had their Prime Now going on.
Sure.
Yeah, they were delivering waffle irons every day.
I remember that.
We couldn't keep up with it.
That was a fascinating time. I'm going to steer the ship a little differently, maybe. I don't know if the right verbiage there. But what has been interesting to me to learn over the years from you, Dave, from watching you and your operation, is I think most people would think of food items, deliveries of food and drink, as by far the most important part of your world. But what I've learned is almost 50-50 is technology and cash registers and points of sales and how that's delivered to the customer. Can you talk about how much that has changed over your years in the food and beverage quote-unquote industry? I just think that's a fascinating development in y'all's world that is such a huge part of your daily life and your job responsibilities here.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, realistically, 3 decades ago, if you walked into a stadium, it was, you know, we'd refer to it and joke around and call it saw horses in a cigar box. You know, the stadiums were not that necessarily complicated with food, and it was pretty rare to even see a point of sale system in a building. If it had one, it was to maybe assist with adding up the items and ultimately, hopefully, eventually making it so that you could figure out the sales a little bit better. But the menus were very simple back then. You know,
letters on a board and a cash register.
Yeah, I mean, you popped in letters. You were lucky if there was a cash register. I remember working one place where the prices were not on the even quarter, and the cashiers could figure out everything in their head.
Yeah.
And they actually had some crazy wooden tray on the back counter that they kept the money in or the coins in so that they could make change properly. I don't know how these ladies did it, but they did it, and I was just amazed at it.
Yeah.
Whereas today, you know, good luck on even getting someone to make change out of a 5 when the total's 325.
Right.
And so, but yeah, and so.
That's $1.75 there, Scotty.
Here is nothing because we're cashless, baby.
Cashless, baby.
Boom.
Yeah. So, and now what you bring up is another point is that, you know, 3 decades ago, credit cards existed, but credit cards were not as prevalent as they are today. So mm-hmm. as credit cards have become more and more common as the way people pay, you know, technology really had to get into stadiums. And, you know, you went from having just a basic Verifone in the corner to then having to have full-blown point-of-sale systems. You've got... where when you buy a ticket, you've got money on that ticket so that you can purchase things at the stand and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's become a lot more complicated. It's also made it a lot more efficient. You know, our key for our knowledge is knowing exactly what we sold each night so that we can prepare properly for the next day.
Yep.
Or when we, you know, 2 nights ago, we had a huge crowd here, and that sales data is going to be very important that, you know, when we go into next weekend and if we're at a similar ticket sales, we know exactly what to expect.
What do you think the number one thing that the customer sees that's different from your first year in this industry to now?
Honestly, what the customer sees is the variety of food. I remember the first ballpark I walked into was a major league ballpark, and there was, you know, it sat 60,000 people, and there was two pizza stands, and there was maybe four grill stands in the entire building.
Yeah.
Otherwise, everything else was a hot dog stand. There was maybe three stands. No, one stand that sold, that was called the Cantina. Otherwise, you know, there was nachos was the only Hispanic food that was available. And you had one flavor of beer in each stand. One flavor. That was it. No choice.
If someone were to ask, let's say they've never been to the DBAP, how would you say our experience, our food is different than our friends across minor league baseball? What sets us apart in the concessions world?
Well, first thing that sets us apart, not necessarily from everyone, but from some teams, is going to be that we essentially do the food service in-house. You know, Bull City Hospitality, technically the company I work for, is still part of Capital Broadcasting. And so when we want to look at customer decisions, we're able to look at those and weigh out the different cost factors and decide very quickly if we want to do something that we think is going to benefit our guests. That's one thing that hopefully people see and appreciate, that, you know, that was a decision that was made, you know, 8 years ago by the Goodmans, was to take it in-house, and they did. Other things that I think they'll see, which is a result of us taking it in-house, is we have a lot of local partnerships. And so not to say that not other teams don't, but once again, the freedom of us doing our own food service, you know, we've got El Jefecito here doing street tacos.
Great tacos here.
Yep. Pie Pushers has been here for a number of years.
Incredible pizza.
You know, we've got local franchisee that's Rita's. Rita's has been out here forever, but this is a small, you know, proprietor that does that. We've got Two Roosters ice cream. Local Pops Summer has been here before I got here.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the local Chick-fil-A franchisee is here. And so, you know, we're able to really work with a lot of local people, whether it's a franchise business or not, but they're still local. And, you know, and that's a lot of fun, and it brings in a good variety of food to the ballpark.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I don't want to sound like Brad Pitt in Seven, but what's in the box?
Yeah, what is in the box?
Well, these were condiments, in case you guys wanted condiments. Scott went over, because we happened to be sitting in a suite and just snagged the ketchup bottle.
Yeah.
But
go big or go home, Dave.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and how much ketchup you used. Can we talk about Mike? Let's talk about Mike, since, by the way, I know he doesn't listen to the podcast. So many bobbleheads have been turned around in his office.
Nothing.
So many. Hasn't noticed anything. Mike used about 9 packets of ketchup the other night for fries and chicken tenders.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ketchup's great stuff.
It's no, I don't disagree with that. It's the fact that we had like 12 total for the whole staff that night, packets down there, and 9 were used by one person. You know, like you've got the plastic plates that are divided. You've got your entree, and then there's two sides, right? One of his side compartments was just ketchup.
He probably considers it a vegetable.
Probably does.
We'll have to ask him when he listens to this episode.
He hasn't been on the. Has he been on the podcast? He has been on the podcast once,
twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Maybe just once. Now that I say that, I think it's just once.
I think Brady and Mitch are the only two-time
buddy. 40th episode, by the way.
Oh wow! Why didn't we?
So this is the 4-0. We'll probably do that in the intro outro that we definitely do before this, because we do it in order and not in a dumb way. All right, Big Dog, we're gonna do a lightning round. We know the big. Let's learn the dog. All right. Lightning round with Big Dog. What is your favorite restaurant in Durham?
Ooh. Somewhat difficult, because I don't live in Durham, but
the truth comes out.
I'd argue you do.
The truth comes out.
Yeah, I probably spend more time in Durham than anywhere else. Honestly, if I'm going up on Main Street there, I like to go to Luna.
Luna's a good spot. Luna yep. keeps getting shout outs on the pod.
That's the second time Great really? Luna has been referenced.
Hey, all right. Sponsor the podcast, Luna. Come on.
Ooh, yeah, why That'd
be
not?
Good. That'd be good.
We would impress so many CBC people.
We're so refined.
We are so refined.
We just wolfed down two hot dogs on a podcast. Oh, but we're going to go over to Luna and get some tapas.
Get some tapas.
Big Dog, you're a big Disney guy.
Yes.
What's the best Disney movie ever made?
Mm.
The movie that I have tried to see, the story I've seen in almost every version,
okay.
is Lion King.
Okay. That's a good answer.
I've even seen it in the IMAX.
Live action, cartoon, and sequel, Scotty.
Thank you
You're welcome.
For that explanation, Patrick.
I can see it. I can see the wheels going a little bit.
So live action would be like the D-Pack?
No, sir. Live action being the live action Lion King movie featuring actresses and actors such as Beyonce Knowles had a piece in this. Do you not remember this? It's like mostly CGI.
Huh.
It kind of got body slammed by critics.
I wonder why that's
critics.
Called live when it's not live. You know what I mean?
Live action, just because it's people, human actors, yeah. not cartoon.
What would you call the Broadway performance?
A Broadway performance?
Theater. Yeah. Okay. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Did you see it on Broadway?
No.
Okay.
Huh.
That's
but
I'm not.
But I've seen it in at least two. I've seen it twice.
Okay.
What's your favorite song for The Lion King?
Big Dog, there's two answers here.
Yeah. There's two answers.
There's
here?
Two acceptable answers here.
Well, I'm gonna go "Circle of Life."
Yeah, yep. that's. I mean, that's the.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Is that also your favorite Disney song?
Ooh.
Phil Collins intensifies.
Disney song. I.
Coming I guess off of my Disney Princess, the concert.
Where's this headed?
Oh. Appearance. That's why I asked that question. In this lightning round.
I forgot that happened.
Yep. I haven't.
We haven't. Shout out, Claire.
Shout out, Claire.
Yeah, I'm going to say the same thing.
Okay.
Just because
okay.
it's my favorite movie and that song.
No, that makes sense. It's good. Yeah. It's good. Yeah. When you are not at the ballpark, what are you doing?
Mm.
When I'm not at the ballpark,
I know
what
those
am
moments
I doing?
Are few and far between, yes. Big Dog, but.
Well, hopefully I'm home, but. You know, unfortunately, when we get a day off, my family's probably at school.
Running around, yeah.
Yeah, you know, kids are at school. My wife's a teacher.
Sure.
Are they at school tomorrow?
Yes.
They're not out yet?
No, they're not out yet.
Bummer.
So, one thing that I've really enjoyed since being here at the Bowls is that when I can capture that day off, I will go out and I will just do a long run.
Big long run.
Speaking of.
Big Dog running.
Speaking of.
Yeah.
I feel like we should give the audience an update. I don't know. I think this has been mentioned. I don't think we've gone.
Not in my tenure here.
Yeah.
But I know. Tenure on the podcast.
Okay.
But I know that you and Matt talked about it at one point.
About running?
I believe so.
Okay.
Okay. But you're going to talk about the challenge.
I'm going to talk about big specifically the challenge.
The challenge.
This would be a good every other week update
I like this.
To the public.
Sure.
Ooh.
So the background, as Dave just explained a little bit, he's a big runner.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since I've known you, I've known you as a you enjoy running.
Yep, same.
You enjoy yes. doing.
First thing I notice is the running shoes.
Yeah. Talk before we do this. Talk about what you'll do at Disney with running.
Oh, so when a few years ago we were down here, when we got down here, my wife looked at me and said, "Hey, I've signed up to do the Princess 5K
yep.
in February
Big
when
deal.
We're going to go on our trip." And I look at her and I go, "Well, in." Her and I would run together, not as much as we run today, because we run a lot more today, mm-hmm. but we would run every so often. And,
four legs, you can do that.
And so she, I looked at her and said, "Hey, can I sign up for that too? Because it's the Princess Half Marathon weekend,
right.
you know?" And she goes, "Well, yeah, guys can sign up for it too." I said,
yeah.
"Oh, are you sure?"
Heck yeah. Yeah. Absolutely, they can.
So we signed up, went down there for the 5K for the whole weekend. 5Ks are the first race that they do. So this is a three race weekend. So mm-hmm. Friday they start with the 5K, and we got up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Sure, as
crazy
you do.
Time.
Nope, Scott, that's normal. We all know that. Yeah. All three of us sitting at this table get up at that time to run.
and we go over to Epcot and we run this race and mm-hmm. we get done and I look at my wife and I go, oh my God, this is a whole new side of Disney we didn't even know about.
Yep.
When can we sign up for another one? And we had never run a half marathon, but come that fall, we were running three races. We were doing a 5K with the kids, a 10K and a half marathon, 3 days, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And
and the rest is history.
Yeah, the rest is just craziness.
And you do that twice a year now?
We do that.
A version of it, at least.
Yes. Yeah. Pip. Yes. I do it twice a year. My wife will probably get a third one in just because there's one race that happens right as the baseball season starts. So usually not I'm not able to get away. That one.
Yeah. Right.
And
okay. Yep. So the Big
challenge.
Dog.
Yes. The
is
challenge.
Also big runner. So October of 2020 was the first. We do a lot of challenges around here, mm-hmm. normally around weight loss. But in October of 2020, one Nick Bavin,
yep,
shout out, former coworker of ours, came up with the let's run 100 miles during the month of October, which yep. quickly ran or became who could run 100 miles first.
Yes,
in the month of October
or on Halloween if you're Cam Rendell.
Yes.
How quickly can I run? What was it? 18 miles?
18, 20, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
He was way behind. Got up at 3 o'clock, and next thing you knew, he walked to the ballpark for our Halloween party.
Yep.
And could not move.
Yes.
But that has led to this 2022 year's challenge of running 500 miles
mm-hmm.
over the course of the entire year. Now, for all you math majors, that works out to be 1.3 and change miles per day.
Yep.
Which, that seems like nothing, right? Yep. But
seems that way.
You miss
till you work in minor league baseball. Yeah.
And it starts to pile up a little bit on you, which... Yep. I know the feeling on that.
Oh, really?
Yep. So, Peter Wallace. So, there are six participants.
Yep.
Five of the six work here at 409 Blackwell Street.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go from last to first.
Okay.
Brian Wilson has been picking up steam lately.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And is at 115.8 miles.
He's in last?
Yes.
And has not been on the podcast?
That's correct.
Interesting. Let's keep going on this.
Yes. fifth is yours truly.
Yep. How many miles is that?
122.
Okay. Hey, I have you over under 325 and a half, so I need you to pick it up this year. I'm not going to lie to you.
Today, I did 3.21 miles.
Ooh. Look at you.
And he usually only does like a 2.2. Yep.
Yep.
So
lately, I've been doing a lot of 0.0s. Dave, big dog.
Big dog.
And as you can see, 115 to 122, not a lot of separation.
Right.
Yep. Well, here comes the separation.
Yeah.
Big dog over me, again, at 122. Big dog, 292 miles.
Mm-hmm. And is a guest on the podcast. Keep going.
That's correct. Mike Berlink.
Guest on the podcast.
303.6 miles.
Mm-hmm.
He has surpassed Dave. That has been a topic of discussion.
He's been very happy with that.
Yes.
And he actually got so paranoid the other day that he looked at me and said, "You're not running a race this weekend."
Oh,
yep.
Oh,
because
factored into the weekend plans,
man.
Yeah,
because he's hearing those footsteps. Though.
Yeah.
He really is.
Quite a bit of separation between third place and second place.
Yes.
Nick Bavin, 397.8 miles.
Yep.
And the reason why there's a lot of separation there is because he has been picking up the gap to young Peter Wallace at 416 miles. So only, 18, 19 miles of difference there between first and second, but then quite the drop off. 416 to 115. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
We won't talk about is the amount of time that it's taken Dave to run those 292 miles.
First of all, when you're dealing with Mike, there's many layers of this competition.
Yes, it is not just
Though this is a challenge to just complete 500 miles in a year.
What if you guys just bettered each other, if you just tried to be better?
Yeah.
Right?
So
no, can't be that. Got to be a competition.
So of course, as the 100 mile in a month competition became who could get to 100 miles first and then who could get the furthest in that 1 month, this contest will devolve to that. But as Mike tries to look at it right now, when I get ahead of him, which mm-hmm. does happen from time to time,
sure,
He then likes to point out that he runs faster than I do, and he likes to then comment on how long it took me to get time-wise that distance and how much faster he got to that.
Come on, Mike.
Because I am not the fastest runner. I just
56 hours to do 292 miles, and Mike has done 303 miles in 43 hours. 44. We'll go ahead and give him
seven. You know what that tells me? Big Dog enjoys running as a hobby.
He does.
And Mike enjoys winning competitions.
Which was the point of this.
That's what that tells me.
Talk about how much you like running.
And by the way, I think this is great for all of you. I do want to point out that the people who have been on the podcast are more towards the top of the leaderboard.
Mm.
Minus Scott, who's an outlier. But with all this time you're doing editing the podcast, posting the podcast, advertising for the podcast, when do you have time to run?
Exactly.
I mean, you just can't fit that in.
I can't run with this piano on my back.
No, you can't. I'll try and pick up some slack for you there, Scott.
Appreciate you.
Big Dog, is there anything else you want the people to know about you?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it's just... I love working in sports. It's a lot of fun.
Sure is.
You know, as I look at it, you know, it's fun being in a place that people are coming to enjoy themselves. I went to restaurant school. I knew I was going to work in this industry, and I always wanted to work somewhere that I think was important to the community. Wasn't just a restaurant at the corner of such and such. Also, you know, when I went to restaurant school, franchise restaurants, chain restaurants were the big thing. And so, you know, the individual restaurants you see today, just that wasn't the scene back then.
Right.
So, you know, I really wanted to be where somewhere it was more important.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, found myself doing that. And it's been a lot of fun.
Big Dog, we appreciate you.
Dave, you do a great job. So thank you on behalf of Bulls fans. Thank you for all you do.
It is awesome. That is the animal. The Big Dog, the Michelin man himself.
Ruff, 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 ruff.
We'll be right back to close this thing out. Scott, we got a familiar face coming back to the ballpark today.
A friend of everybody.
Willie Adames makes his return. He is rehabbing. He is now with the Brewers. He's rehabbing for the Nashville Sounds.
Mm-hmm.
My first baseball game ever, by the way, was the Sounds game.
Huh.
Greer Stadium.
Interesting.
Big guitar scoreboard.
Yep.
But Willie is making his triumphant return. He was Willie's kind of last year with the Bulls was my first year here. And he was one of the, to this day, top three nicest players I've ever worked with. Always willing to help out with something.
Always
asked if he could be in a video if we were shooting with somebody else, which is great. Always posed for pictures, which was huge, especially as I was learning my way around to the camera with photography. Super patient guy, super nice guy. We've got a little tribute video made for him.
Yeah, that's gonna be cool.
And that'll be a good moment. It'll be a good moment to see him step into the box. I hope he takes it in a little bit. Because I know our fans are going to remember him.
Yeah.
Several 919 members have talked to me about how much they miss Willie and loved Willie. Wooly Bull loves Willie Adames.
He was a part of the Waffle House cover, right? Were you here for that?
Yes. No, yes. But I've heard this.
Yeah. That was probably the coolest Bulls Illustrated or whatever we call it at the time.
Yes. I believe it was Bulls Illustrated.
Okay.
Yeah.
The play ball. But that was... Willie's just great people.
He's good. Willie's He's a good people. Dude, man. He's a good dude. We always root for him. We're going to be happy to see him. Hope he gets better and back up to the bigs shortly. But it will be nice to see a smiling, familiar face. Scott, it's been a heck of a 2 weeks.
Mm.
I'm going to ask you one question.
Okay.
And then we'll close it out. When we're doing these back-to-back homestands, or say in a crazy world where this would never happen, we go homestand ACC tournament, homestand concert or event,
okay.
Right? Would never happen, but let's say it does.
Okay.
How do you stay fresh? What is the best way? Because I don't know about you, game 4 through 6, real tough for me to...
Yeah. You got to steal your moments, right? On the pre-pitch clock, you know, the pitch clock has changed just a little bit. But pre-pitch clock, you know, that 2 hour and 25 minute game, you shut it down. You got out of here quickly. You got home and you picked up... You know, arguably you might have picked up an hour and a half worth of sleep.
Yep.
We're fortunate to have a great staff that you don't have to babysit.
Nope.
I think that's a huge element to this for you to be able to get away for 4 or 5 hours, and you try to try to get one thing. So for example, yesterday, I don't know if I told you about this. I mentioned this to everybody roughly five times. But at 11 o'clock, I went to see Maverick, aka Top Gun.
When you say 11 o'clock, surely you mean PM, right, Scott?
No.
Nope, Patrick, sure don't.
I mean in the AM.
Yep, got it.
And so that was a great little clear, not clear your head, but just get away from it for a few hours.
Shut the brain off. It's good.
And be ready to rock and roll. I know that that Sunday after Sylvanesso, we were done at the DAP at about 5:30 or 6, which is a perfect time because you got out of there, you went home, you took a shower, you ate dinner, and you went to sleep.
Night, night.
And yep. I showed up at that staff meeting all ready to rock and roll like I had 22 Mountain
Dews. Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. Yep.
So, yeah, I think there's obviously numerous jobs in this world where you work a long stretch, you know, 12-hour days, 13-hour days for numerous days in a row. But luckily, like Dave talked about with his passion, if I had to go to a bank maybe and work a 12-hour shift or a library, I don't know if I could do it. But coming here to the ballpark, one thing that's happened during our recording today is Nashville arrived at the ballpark.
Yep.
And multiple players out there whipping the phones out, doing panoramic shots of the whole ballpark. That's cool. When even cool, the players are kind of mesmerized at the facility that they've visited that we get to call home. That's what keeps you going, my friend.
I will say, getting up this morning and remembering we played Nashville, because like you see it on the calendar, you're like, oh yeah, Nashville's okay, Nashville's coming. Growing up there and going to those games, I'm not kidding, probably 10 or 15 games a summer, growing up from 3 years old till when I left high school, to then saying, okay, but now I get to go to work, and that's part of my job. Uh-huh. That's pretty cool for me. And that obviously Nashville's changed a lot. The sounds have changed a lot. Great people over there. Shout out Neil Rosen. Listens to the podcast. He's Nashville's video guy. A big fan of Neil. Go follow him on Twitter if you want to see some really good stuff. But it's just, that is a program, a ball club that I kind of look at in the same tier as us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you've got it together. You're putting out good content. Things of that nature. So it's just cool. And that's one way I can kind of get through it. And like you said, stealing your moments, you know, whenever you can get out of here a little bit early, sneak out. Hey, my job's done. Probably going to just poke out for a sec. Take it. Got to take those chances when you can get them and then come back the next day swinging. So again, if you're in an instance at work where maybe it's getting a little overwhelming, got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Just take those moments away.
Take the moments.
You know, take 5 minutes. Look at your phone. It's okay. You'll be fine. All right. Well, we're going to be back in 2 weeks. No idea who the guest is going to be.
So that'll be...
Sasha Moore.
So 2 weeks would be... we got to figure that out.
Yeah.
I won't be here. I'm departing on Thursday.
Probably going to record next week.
Stealing some moments.
Yeah.
Taking a long weekend.
Good for you. Yeah, well, we could figure it out.
I could phone in. Phone in from the dock.
Yeah. Where are you headed again?
I'll be heading...
Are you allowed to say this?
I was going
to
say Charleston.
Okay.
But it's not Charleston.
Yeah, right.
It's just south of Charleston. Right. Rockville, South Carolina. Wamala Island.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Rockville Regatta. People have probably heard of that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure the masses have heard
of that. Not Rock Hill?
A.K.A. Charleston.
Not going to go see big stuff over at Winthrop?
No, will I go through Rock Hill. Because I'll be taking the lovely stretch of I-95.
Good.
From
good
Benson to... Florence area.
We'll figure it out. We let's try and get Sasha on.
Okay.
She's scared is not the right word. I think she knows better. I think Big Dog, we kind of tricked. Hey, Big Dog, what are you doing on Monday?
I think him bringing food was a way of easing himself into the podcast.
Any future podcast guest who wants to bring us gifts or just food, go for it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. All right. Hey, everybody. We really appreciate it. Thank you for letting us be a part of your day. We really love doing this podcast, sharing with you what it's like to work inside an MILB front office. He's Scott. I'm Patrick. This was episode 40. Thanks so much for listening. Bye-bye.